and welcome to the Young Pyromancers Podcast, your new podcast for all aspects of the Commander format.
We look to help you improve your play regardless of how old you are. We put a focus on budget magic.
Magic is a pricey game, especially for us kids who don't have a huge amount of money to spend on cards.
You don't need to shell out thousands of dollars on pieces of cardboard. Decks can be fun to play, powerful, and cheap at the same time.
Today we'll be talking about my Jorah Weatherlight Captain deck, which was my first Commander deck. Let's get right to it. Today, our commander is Jorah Weatherlight Captain. She's 2 blue and a red for a 3/3 legendary creature, Human Artificer. She says, whenever you cast a historic spell, draw a card. Artifacts, legendaries, and sagas are historic.
So, Jorah is a really interesting commander here because, particularly of artifacts being historic. In history, there have been a lot of 0-mana artifacts and other 1-mana artifacts that have abilities that are, although relevant, draw you a card off of Jorah's ability.
Jorah's ability will allow us to draw tons of cards while we play our artifacts.
Yeah, so the main concept of this deck is, with Jorah, to draw these artifacts, play more artifacts, and with our artifacts, they have relevant abilities that we can use to use our game plan, so to get rid of creatures, draw more cards, exile graveyards.
A lot of our artifacts can be quote-unquote silver bullets to many types of decks, and we'll be talking about a few of them.
Yeah, and it's especially useful because these artifacts come at 0 or 1 mana and act as a cantrip while also doubling as effective removal or mana fixing or any other kind of thing.
So a great example is Brittle Effigy. It's 1 mana for an artifact. It has 4 and tap it, and exile Brittle Effigy. It says exile target creature.
So this is really cool because it's, once you have Jorah on the battlefield, you can pay 1 mana. You're drawing a card, just easy cantrip. But then you have this ability that you can pay 4 and tap an exile Brittle Effigy to exile target creature, which is really a very relevant clause on top of getting a essentially free cantrip.
Next is a Bomat Courier, which is an 1/1, 1 mana, for an artifact creature construct. It has haste, and whenever Bomat Courier attacks, exile the top card of your library face down. You can't look at it. And it has red, discard your hand, sacrifice Bomat Courier. Put all cards exiled with Bomat Courier into the owner's hands.
Yeah, this is great for a couple reasons. First of all, you draw a card as Jorah, again. Secondly, if Jorah gets removed and you find yourself in a situation where you have no cards in hand, you've just been swinging with Bomat Courier since turn one, you have the ability to pay red, discard your now non-existent hand, and sacrifice Bomat Courier, and draw, which can be up to, like, 7 cards, depending on how late in the game you are.
Yeah, and then we get a full grip of cards back again, and we're able to start our chain of playing artifacts and drawing cards with Jorah.
Next up, we have Implement of Combustion. So Implement of Combustion is also a 1-mana artifact. It has the activated ability Red and Sacrifice Implement of Combustion. It deals 1 damage to target player, so it just pings. This, although seemingly useless, it's 1 damage, you know, it does something. But it also says, when Implement of Combustion is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, draw a card. So not only does this draw you a card from Jorah, if you pay red and sacrifice it, you draw a card. So this essentially says, 2 mana, draw a card, ping something. So it's a gut shot on an artifact that has synergy with other artifact synergy cards that we'll look at later.
Right, and next we have a Spire Silk Net, which is 0 mana. It's an artifact equipment. Equipped creature has +0/+2 and has reach. So this is great because it's a cookie or a Cheerio. It costs 0 mana. Doesn't require anything else for us to play. It will cantrip, which is a term we use for a card that replaces itself. And when we play it, we get to draw a card, and it replaces itself for free.
Yeah, on top of that, it's just a 0-mana artifact. It has an ability that can be relevant, but never bad to just draw a card.
Next up, Scrabbling Claws, 1-mana artifact. Tap it, and target player exiles a card from their graveyard. It's worth noting that you don't get to choose which card they exile. They are the ones who choose which card they exile. Its last ability is pay 1 and sacrifice Scrabbling Claws. Exile target card from a graveyard, draw card. So this time you do get to choose. When you sacrifice it with its ability, you choose which card to exile.
Yeah, so this can be a trade-off, kind of like Relic of Progenitus. but you get to exile target cards, so it can have the advantage of not exiling all graveyards in just a target card, which can be very effective against certain strategies such as, you know, Reanimator or other things.
Mm-hmm. On the same note, we've got another graveyard hate-ish card. We have Sentinel Totem, 1 mana for an artifact. It says, when it enters the battlefield, scry 1. Which is, you look at the top card of your library, and then you may put it on the bottom or leave it there. Tap it, and you exile Sentinel Totem. And you exile all cards from all graveyards. So this is an incredible piece of graveyard hate, because we're not accessing our graveyard very much in this deck. This allows us to hose the graveyard players at the table.
Yeah, so lastly here we have Pacification Array. This is a 1-mana artifact that, you know, again, draws as a card off of Georgia's ability. But it has the activated ability 2 and tap to tap target artifact or creature.
Yeah, we can use it as a combat trick. As they move to combat, we can tap down one of the creatures, which will not allow them to attack with our creature, as oftentimes we are vulnerable to aggressive strategies because we don't play a lot of creatures in this deck.
On top of that, it also says tap target artifact, notably, so you can slow down some fast starts or other things, you know, some mana crypts, mana vaults. So next up we have some ramp artifacts here.
Ramp is very important to our deck because we need to get out quick out of the gate so that we can start playing huge threats. Because oftentimes in this deck we have the mana, sometimes we have the mana but not the cards. And sometimes we have the cards, but not the mana. But these are the two essential parts of our deck that we need. All commander decks need ramp and card draw. Those are the two pillars of the format.
Yeah. Ramp, card draw, and lands.
Yeah, and lands. Next up is Hedron Archive, which is a 4-mana artifact that has tap and add 2 diamond mana, or colorless mana. It has pay 2 and tap it and sacrifice it. Draw 2 cards. This is great because once we don't need the mana anymore, we can sacrifice it and get more cards. So this is great because we've got card draw and mana ramp on the same card.
Yeah, really great because 4 mana for tapping for 2 is actually, you know, fairly good rate as well. Just a solid artifact ramp that we're going to see a little more of here with Fireman Vessel.
What is slightly worth noting is Joyraw, our commander, is also 4 mana. So 4 mana is kind of an awkward place for our deck because we really want to be casting Joyraw when we have 4 mana to allow our chain to get started.
Yeah, here are some more explosive artifact ramp. We have Gilded Lotus, which is 5 colorless for an artifact. It has tap, add 3 mana of any one color. So this is really great. It's just very good rate. Can draw us a card off of Jogra, and it really just sets us up for having a ton of mana in the late game to do what we really want to do with this deck.
It gives you back your mana because it doesn't enter tapped, because you can play it for 5 mana, and then you get 3 of it back. You're netting only having to pay 2 mana.
Yeah, on top of that, this also can, you know, if you're losing that 2 mana there, but you're also gaining it back in colored mana rather than colorless mana, which can be pretty relevant in some situations. Lastly, we have Astral Cornucopia. Astral Cornucopia is an artifact that costs XXX, or 3X. It has Astral Cornucopia enters the battlefield with X charge counters on it. It has tap, choose a color, add 1 mana of that color to your mana pool for each charge counter on Astral Cornucopia. So, Astral Cornucopia, notably, you can cast it as a Cheerio here. You can cast it for X equals 0, and just draw a card after Joyra, but you can also cast it for X equals 1, X equals 2, and even in the late game, you can cast it for maybe even up to X equals 4 or 5. Yeah, I've resolved
it with 5, X equals 5, and then it taps for 5 mana, and it's a very efficient mana rock.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got some artifact synergy codes. So these are real payoffs. This is a meat and potatoes, I guess. This is what we want to be playing in the middle of the game, and this will accrue us value so that we can get to our win conditions. I think a great example of this is Trading Post. It's a 4-mana artifact. This is a lot of abilities, so bear with me. It has 1 and tap it, discard a card, you gain 4 life. 1 and tap it, pay 1 life, you put a 0/1 white goat creature token under the battlefield. Also 1 and tap it, sacrifice a creature, return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand, and then one and tap it, sacrifice an artifact, draw a card. So I think that's the best thing that we're looking for, is that last ability. Oh, also that third ability. So the third ability allows us to sacrifice a creature to return an artifact from our graveyard to our hand, which is great because we will have artifacts that get destroyed if you're getting, like, Vandal Blast or Shatterstormed.
Yeah, this also goes really well with some of our artifacts that we sacrifice for value, such as Hedron Archive.
This goes great with the Implement of Combustion as well. But the last ability is what we're here for. It's one tap it, sacrifice an artifact, draw a card, repurposing all the artifacts that aren't really doing anything and turning it into value.
Yeah, turning those cards that may not be doing anything, such as, like, 3-mana artifacts, adding 1 mana. We're in the late game. We have enough cards. We're just trying to draw some cards, mm-hmm. And Trading Post does a perfect job of doing that.
Next up, another card that is great with putting stuff in the graveyard, bringing stuff back.
Scrap Trawler. So, Scrap Trawler is a 3-mana, 3/2 artifact creature construct, and it has the ability... Whenever Scrap Trawler or another artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand target artifact in your graveyard with lesser converted mana cost. So this is a really powerful ability here. Any artifact you control, getting any artifact back is just very, very powerful. And it sort of allows you to get a kind of loop going. So if Scrap Trawler dies, you can get another 3 CMC artifact dies, you can get a 2 CMC artifact, or less. You can get a 1 CMC artifact, or less, of course.
Yeah, if one of your bigger artifacts, like if somehow your Gilded Lotus dies, goes to the graveyard, and then you can pull another artifact out of the graveyard, basically any of your artifacts you can then grab out of your yard.
Yeah, kind of feels bad for the opponent when they Vandal Blast your Gilded Lotus and you get back your Fire Mine Vessel, you know.
Next up is Inspiring Statuary, 3-mana artifact. It says non-artifact spells you cast have improvise. So all of our non-artifact spells now have improvise, and improvise is your artifact help cast it. They can all tap for 1 mana of the cost. And this is really powerful because now we can cast our large spells with the help of our artifacts, and it turns them all into mana rocks.
Yeah, like our 0-mana artifacts, it really helps power out the deck because these 0-mana artifacts essentially turn into colorless Moxen because they're 0-mana, tap for 1 in addition to drawing a card if we have Driller out when we cast these spells. So next up we have as a cost reducer for artifacts in Foundry Inspector. Foundry Inspector is a 3-mana, 3/2 artifact creature construct, similar to Scrap Trawler, and it has the ability artifact spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. This is a super strong ability, and it allows us to cast our 1 or 2-mana artifacts for 1 less, which can really be strong in turning particularly our 1 CMC artifacts into 0 CMC artifacts and chaining through them and drawing an absurd amount of cards in just a single turn with this card.
We've got another version of it. It's called Jorah's Familiar. It's a 4-mana artifact creature bird. It's a 2/2, has flying. Historic spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. So this is the same as Foundry Inspector, but it also hits our legendaries, which is great because we have a few legendary spells that are non-artifact. Yeah, next we have a non-artifact historic card that Jorah's Familiar will reduce from 3-mana to 4... from 4-mana to 3-mana.
Notably, also draws a card with Jorah, because again, it's legendaries. Legendaries, you draw a card off of Jorah. And this is Padim, Council of Innovation. This is 3 and a blue for a 1/4 legendary creature, Vidalkin Artificer. And it has the ability, artifacts you control have hexproof. It says, at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control the artifact with the highest converted mana cost, or tied for the highest converted mana cost, draw a card. So this can be really strong if you control a high CMC artifact here, like Gilded Lotus. It can just allow you to, every upkeep, draw a card, and so you're drawing 2 cards a turn, which just puts you so far ahead on top of drawing so many cards, casting artifacts with Jorah. So really good card in the deck here.
Yeah, it protects all of our artifacts from non-Vandal Blast removal.
Oh, yes. Very, very cool, too, because protects our Gilded Lotus, so we can't get Vandal Blast, and it gives us that high CMC card that draws a card at every upkeep that cannot be destroyed.
Well, not Vandal Blast overloaded, because it doesn't target.
I mean, who plays
Vandal Blast? Wait, no, each target creature... every target artifact you don't control.
Yeah.
Never mind.
No, it's target with replace. So Vandal Blast is it costs one red for a sorcery, and it says destroy target artifact you don't control, but it has overload for four and a red, and overload is an ability that replaces each instance of target with each. So Vandal Blast then reads overloaded, destroy each artifact you don't control. Which, unfortunately, will hit Gilded Lotus, but, yeah, so it's a strong card, but it is in mono red, which is one of, a color containing red, which is one of the
Vandal lesser... Vandal Blast definitely isn't one common. Of the most played red codes, right?
Unfortunately, it might be. Shame for us, but, we might have some tricks up our sleeve against Vandal Blast later here.
Yeah, we've got some... nice tricks up our sleeves. Yeah, we can... Padim is one of the best cards in the deck, because we can... We're drawing cards, and we're protecting our artifacts, and it's very, very hard to remove. Once we've got Padim on the battlefield, our artifacts are all safe.
Yeah, really quickly here, I'm going to talk about Artificer's Assistant. It is one blue for a 1/1 creature bird with flying, so already good rate. One blue for a 1/1 flying, that's fine. But it has the great ability of whenever you cast a historic spell, scry one. Notably, this is also an on-cast trigger, like Joyra. So if you choose to, and you have both of these cards out, you can stack the triggers so that you can scry one and then draw a card, which, when put together, is just really strong, unless you have to dig a lot deeper through your deck.
You're casting Opt every time you play an artifact.
Yeah, so that's really strong, especially when you're playing reduced-cost, zero CMC artifacts.
Next up is Storm the Vault, which is a 2 blue and red, 4 mana total, legendary enchantment. Whenever one or more creatures you control this is legendary, so you do draw a card off of Joyra. Whenever one or more creatures you control deals combat damage to a player, whenever one or more creatures, so you only do this once when you deal combat damage.
Yeah, so you get one trigger is for whenever any number of creatures you control deals combat damage to a player.
You create a treasure, which says tap, sacrifice this artifact, add one mana of any color. And at the beginning of your end step, if you control 5 or more artifacts, transform Storm the Vault. So it flips around and it becomes the Vault of Cutlocken. It's a legendary land transformed from Storm the Vault. And it taps to add one mana of any color, but also it taps to add one blue to your mana pool for each artifact you control, which is insane because of how many artifacts we're pumping out onto the table. And this is a Tolarian Academy, which is banned in Commander.
Yeah, known as one of the most powerful cards in all of Magic. And to have this ability and, you know, 5 artifacts to control during the game, and it's a 4 CMC card... To control 5 artifacts on turn 4 is not that unreasonable, and to be having a Tolarian Academy on turn 4, untapping on turn 5 with that amount of mana, giving you, like, upwards of 12, 13 mana.
I've tapped this for 21 mana before.
Yeah, you know, just completely outrageous and can allow you to win the game on the spot with it. So really quickly, I'm going to talk about Molten Psyche. Molten Psyche is a 1 red-red for a sorcery, and it says... Each player shuffles the card from his or her hand into his or her library, then draws that many cards. So kind of a Winds of Change type effect, but that's not all. It has Metalcraft. So if you control 3 or more artifacts, Molten Psyche deals damage to each opponent, equal to the number of cards that player has drawn this turn. So this can be crazy. So if you control 3 or more artifacts, everyone has 7 cards in hand. Not only are you drawing 7 cards, you are dealing 21 damage total for 3 mana here.
Yeah, 7 to all players. And if you're playing this on turn 3, we often have Metalcraft by turn 4 or 5. So you can play this on, what, like turn 5? Oh no, turn 1 artifact, turn 2 artifact, turn 3 artifact, and then turn 4 Molten Psyche, and people will have upwards of 5 cards, 6 or 7 cards, and you're dealing 6 or 7 to each player, and you're getting a new hand of cards if you didn't like your hand, or if you just want new cards in there.
Yeah, on top of that, if players make a blunder of trying to draw cards in the early game, you can really punish them with Molten Psyche and making them take a lot of damage. So if people try and, you know, draw cards in your turn for some reason, then you can really get them, because if they try and flash out some kind of card draw effect, then you can deal lots and lots of damage to them, which is, you know, particularly good against cards like Notion Thief.
Oh, yeah.
They're drawing so many cards, then you cast Molten Psyche, they draw even more cards.
Well, the issue with the Notion Thief is they get all your cards.
Yeah, so they're drawing a ton of cards, but this can just instantaneously kill them, because they're drawing,
all of your cards, too.
Yeah, they're drawing every card, they're drawing, like, you know, 50 cards if there's been two wheels this turn, and then they take 50 damage. So, yeah, pretty good, trick you can play.
If they're playing Notion Thief, which is a mean card in itself, I don't like it.
Yeah, so Notion Thief is a creature that has an ability that says, it essentially lets you draw cards if an opponent would draw more than one card.
Yeah, and they don't get the card you do, so
you steal their notion.
Anytime that one of your opponents, this is not in the deck, Notion Thief is a blue-black card. Anytime one of your opponents draws a card, you get take it instead.
Except for the first card they draw. So it's completely busted. There's a lot of really strong decks, even CEDH decks, made around this card. But Molten Psyche gets around that and just beats it up.
CEDH is competitive EDH EDH is Commander, for those of you who didn't know. Next up, we have War of Invention. It's X, blue, blue, blue. So X and then 3 blue. It's an instant, has Improvise, which is the mechanic we talked about earlier. Your artifacts can tap for 1 mana. Search your library for an artifact card with converted mana cost X or less. Put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. So this is a great 2-box card. In some decks, it is a combo piece, but since we don't have that many combos in our deck, we really don't have any infinite combos in this deck. We can go grab any of our artifacts, which makes this pretty great toolbox card, because this is a ramp card. We go grab a mana rock. This can be a... let's see, what else do we have?
It can be ramp, it can be pacification rite, it can be graveyard rite, it can be
It can be a cost reducer.
It can be board wipe, it can be removal, it can be near anything in the deck, and it's just really great card for finding what you need. Alright, so next up here, we are going to be talking about some win cons, or cards that can really, really just cause the game to start going in your favor and bring you so far ahead.
These are our finishers. These are the things where we play these, and sometimes we can sway the entire game, and we can pull into the lead.
Yeah, so first off here, I'm going to talk about Spark Double. Spark Double is 3 and a blue for a 0/0 creature illusion. Terrible, I know.
So good. So good.
However, Spark Double says, you may have Spark Double enter the battlefield as a copy of a creature or planeswalker you control, except it enters with an additional +1/+1 counter on it if it's a creature, it enters with an additional loyalty counter if it's a planeswalker, and it isn't legendary if that permanent is legendary.
That's the key part, that it's just like most other clones, it can do planeswalkers, but that doesn't really matter to us. The fact that it's not legendary is, you can draw a parallel in between this card and Sakashima the Imposter, which is the other clone that can do this. The issue is Sakashima is a $25 code, and this is, what, $2.50? Because this is a relatively new code, War of the Spark. But it's because it's not legendary, we don't have to sacrifice our cards to the legend rule, which would say if you have two of the same card that are legendary, you have to sacrifice one of them.
Yeah, so Spark Double can be really great. There's some really great targets here, such as Joyra. You know, you can draw two cards every time you cast an artifact. Chances to draw an artifact when you're drawing two cards per artifact cast are pretty crazy, and the chances to kind of just storm off here, hint hint, are pretty high. And, yeah, great cards. There's some other really good targets here, like, you know, Padim and some other cards we're about to get to in a minute here.
Yep, we'll talk about those afterwards. Next up, we've got a soft combo. I say that because it doesn't go infinite, but oftentimes, if we can play the two, we'll win the game. We have our two cards, Traxos, Scourge of Krug, which is a 4-mana legendary artifact creature construct. It's a 7/7. Has trample. Traxos, Scourge of Krug, enters the battlefield tapped and doesn't untap during your untap step. Which we would think is a downside, but whenever you cast a historic spell, untap Traxos. So what we can do here is we play one of our cheap artifacts and we untap Traxos. At first glance, this is like it's a decent card.
Beater, you know, 4 mana 7/7 artifact, it's decent.
But it combos with this other card, which is Burning Anger. It's an enchantment or 4 and a red, so 5 mana total. Enchanted creature has tap. This creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature or player.
So it's pretty crazy here. So the combo is, you play Burning Anger, it's an enchantment aura, onto Traxos. And now Traxos reads, tap, deals 7 damage to target creature or player. And whenever you cast a historic spell, untap Traxos. So, tap, 7 damage to a player creature, then you play a 1 or 0 mana reduced cost artifact, you untap Traxos, 7 more damage. If you're playing 4 artifacts here, that's 35 damage in a turn, which is pretty busted. And so, you know, 4
artifacts. Oh, it doesn't untap at your untap step, though, so it would only deal 28.
Still.
Only 28 damage.
nonetheless, pretty crazy in the late game for drawing multiple cards per artifact we cast. This should just get out of hand and win us the game easily.
Yeah, and whenever I play this combo, I think it's pretty hard to beat once you have this going.
Yeah, it's pretty backbreaking.
I mean, if they remove Traxos, it's bad.
Yeah, it's kind of, you can also play do some sneaky stuff, like playing Traxos, and the next turn you can sneak Burning Anger on and just completely go off and playing 6 artifacts the same turn you played Burning Anger, and then you're just, you know, that's a hefty amount of damage, 42 damage, you know, nothing to scoff at.
It's a lot better once, if you play Burning Anger and you somehow have 8 mana left over, and you can take an extra turn just because I want to. No, because of this next card, Beacon of Tomorrows, 6 blue-blue. Sorcery, target player takes an extra turn after this one. Then you shuffle Beacon of Tomorrows into its owner's library. So, there's lots of extra turn spells out there. Time Warp at 5 mana. There's Temporal Manipulation also at 5 mana. Clone's Temporal Sundering at 6 mana. But why would we want to pay 8 mana for this? It's because it shuffles itself back into its owner's library. Because of this, we can play this again and again because while we're drawing all of these cards, we're thinning out our library, and soon it'll only be about, like, 25 cards. And then we'll get that down to, like, 15 cards or 10 cards, and then we play Beacon of Tomorrows, and we shuffle it in. And then a few more artifacts later, we draw it again, and we play Beacon of Tomorrows, and we shuffle it. So the issue... Just don't run out of cards, because that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we get into some really tricky situations where someone's trying to mill us out, and if we draw Beacon of Tomorrows and known as Interaction, chances are we might be able to draw enough cards with Jorah by casting artifacts so that we can just infinitely take extra turns with Beacon of Tomorrows, just a...
Well, you have to draw
complete, yeah, complete last-ditch effort, but I mean, it can happen. Hypothetically.
Yeah. So, yeah, we want to get our library down to pretty small with Beacon of Tomorrows. Yeah, I think it works pretty well.
Extra turns are just very powerful in the deck because the ability to... So extra turns typically have you tapping out or near tapping out to do this, and so it's just you get to draw an extra card, basically. But with Beacon of Tomorrows and all of these cheap artifacts, allows us to draw a bunch of cards and play an extra turn spell, which is just really great for what we're trying to do here. Next up, we're going to be talking about a couple cards that are pretty similar here. Sai, Master Thopterist, and Saheeli, Sublime Artificer. So Sai is 2 and a blue, and Saheeli is 1 and 2 Izzet hybrid mana, which is blue or red mana, 2 of those. And so Sai reads, whenever you cast an artifact spell where Saheeli reads, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, and they both read either create a 1-1 Thopter with flying or create a 1-1 colorless servo artifact creature token.
So Sai is slightly better. It is a, it's a 1-4, so it comes on a creature. It gives you flyers, so flying Thopters as opposed to Sovos. But they're both kind of unique because, well, Sai also has the relevant text of one in a blue, sacrifice two artifacts, and draw a card. So it gives us more gas when we have a bunch of sitting around artifacts.
Yeah, I'd also like to note that Saheeli is a planeswalker. Starts with 5 loyalty, and it has the -2 ability of target artifact you control becomes a copy of another target artifact or creature you control until end of turn, except it's an artifact in addition to its other types. There's some pretty crazy stuff you can do here. So, first, Saheeli can also just, she can copy ramp cards, which can allow you to get one extra mana on turns, which can be effective if need be. She can copy a Foundry Inspector or some other cost reducer, which allows you to reduce the cost of artifacts by 2, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, there's some nuts things we can do with Saheeli's minus ability.
Yeah, so we're going to start here by talking about some removal and other cards that may have some secret synergy.
Disruption of our opponent's plans.
Yeah, so first here I'm going to talk about Counterflux. So Counterflux is just a really strong card. It's a blue-blue-red, so kind of restrictive mana cost there for an instant. It says, Counterflux cannot be countered by spells or abilities. Notable clause there. And it says, counter target spell you don't control. Why don't control, you might ask? Because it has an overload cost. 1 blue-blue-red. And if you cast for its overload cost, you replace each instant of target with each. So it would then read, counter each spell you don't control. So this can be a really strong card, and that is just a powerful cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be countered by spells or abilities, which is really strong. The only way it can be stopped is with some sort of redirection.
Mm-hmm.
But the overload cost, very strong if you find yourself in some kind of counterspell war or something, or there's some kind of thing that really needs to get countered. Counterflux is the place to go, kind of a, last stop.
Because you counter every single spell that's not yours. So if there's multiple cards, multiple instants, or other cards that are on the stack that you don't all want to resolve, you just counter them all.
Yeah, kind of like someone playing a draw spell in response to an impactful creature being cast in hopes of drawing into a counterspell or some other situation like that, and you can just counter everything if you don't want any of it to resolve, which is very strong and kind of puts all of your opponents down except for you.
Next up is Ratchet Bomb, a 2-mana artifact. It has tap it, put a charge counter on Ratchet Bomb, and tap, sacrifice Ratchet Bomb, destroy each non-land permanent with the converted mana cost equal to the charge counters on Ratchet Bomb. You can, the normal path of play is to play it. You tap it to put a charge counter on it. Then it goes up to 1. And then the next turn you could tap it and sacrifice it, and it destroys everything that costs 1 mana on the battlefield. But you can also tick it up to 2, 3, and then any turn you set off the bomb, and it destroys everything with that converted mana cost. But one hidden thing that you can do is, instead of on the first turn putting a charge counter on it, you can just tap it, sacrifice it, and it destroys everything with converted mana cost 0, which will hit all of the tokens on the board, because tokens have converted mana cost of 0.
One other thing, Scrap Trawler is 3 CMC, so if you want to...
Oh, you can loop this.
Yeah, so you can sacrifice Ratchet Bomb at a certain number of charge counters, and then whenever, a 3 CMC artifact dies or something, you can set it off for 3, and then you can get it back.
Yeah, I think you can repeatedly blow it up at 2 or 4 charge counters.
Yeah, so no, if you... So the line is, you put it on 3, you sacrifice it for 3, Scrap Trawler dies, you can get Ratchet Bomb back to your hand with Scrap Trawler's Lead the Battlefield trigger, in addition to the many other artifacts being sent to the battlefield triggers from Scrap Trawler.
Oh, I see. I mean, if you do it on 4, though, then you can... if you get it to 4, then it doesn't destroy Scrap Trawler.
Yeah, there's just a lot of versatility with the card that you A lot of things you can do there.
Because we are in the red-blue colors, we don't really have the greatest options when it comes to board wipes. But we do have, within our budget, so we've got one great option, Aethergale, which is 3 blue-blue for a sorcery. It reads, return 6 target non-land permanents to the owner's hand. So this has to be 6. It has to be exactly 6 non-land permanents. We're sitting at a table with 3 other people. The chances that you have, 6 good targets is pretty high. But the other usage of this card is bouncing our own artifacts and replaying them for their value again with Jorah, so that we can draw a card each time we play artifacts and get their value. This is sorcery speed. It would be better if it was instant speed, but it's definitely a good card.
So now we're going to talk about the one of the secret win cons of the deck, also doubling as removal, Grapeshot. So Grapeshot is 1 in a red. Grapeshot is 1 in a red for a sorcery, and it says Grapeshot deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
It's so good.
It does Storm. So Storm is a mechanic that says, when you cast this spell, copy it for each spell cast before it this turn. So as we've talked about, there are a lot of ways that you can just kind of go off with this deck, draw a bunch of cards, play a bunch of artifacts, and Grapeshot is one of the ways that you can really do a lot, is one of the payoffs here. So you can play like 10 artifacts here, and then you can cast Grapeshot, and you get 11 Grapeshots, so you can deal 11 damage in total. So that's 11 damage to a player for 2 mana, which, you know, pretty good in burn, I guess.
Yeah.
But it also can just wipe the board of creatures, because 11 damage divided among...
Oh, and they're not your creatures, they're their creatures. You can...
Creatures is just, very strong card with what we're trying to do here in this deck. Going to talk about some card draw we have in the deck.
We've got our big card draw cards that are gonna give us huge payoffs. So we have Mindspring, which is X blue blue. We make tons of mana in this deck, so we can now put all this mana to use. It's a sorcery. It says it's simple. It's draw X cards, and we can pump 15, 18 mana into it. Draw 16 cards, and we've got tons of cards again. And a great way to refill our hand.
Yeah, also, if we have that, we're sitting around that 18 mana, we can even just cast it for, X equals 10. Now we have 10 cards and 8 mana. We can play, a bunch of artifacts with that 8 mana and possibly just keep storming off and doing some crazy stuff. So now I'm going to talk about the best card in the deck.
Yep, by far.
So it just completely outclasses everything else. This is Fibblethip the Lost.
Everybody's favorite. Lost buddy.
Yeah, best homunculus in the game. So it's 1 in a blue for a 1/1 legendary creature, homunculus. So, great, great card, just beautiful, perfect art. What isn't there great about it? So it says, when Fibblethip enters the battlefield, draw a card. If it entered from your library or is cast from your library, draw 2 cards instead. So that second clause is not very relevant for the deck, but just drawing a card on ETB, 2 mana replaces itself, is decent. And it has, when Fibblethip becomes the target of a spell, shuffle Fibblethip into its owner's library. So can't be touched. Very strong card, let's do some things.
Next up, we have the Weatherlight. It's 4 mana, legendary artifact vehicle. It's a 4/5. So it's not actually a creature because it's a vehicle. So it's not a creature until you crew it. It has flying. Whenever the Weatherlight deals combat damage to a player, look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may reveal a historic card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Artifacts, legendaries, and sagas are historic. Crew 3. So if you tap a 3-power creature, it can crew it. Excellent design, because Jorah is the Weatherlight captain, and Jorah could crew the Weatherlight. It would be really, really sad if Jorah could not fly her boat.
Yeah, total flavor fair, though.
if he couldn't fly the boat.
But, One thing I want to note is if you can play Weatherlight on, like, turn 3, then on turn 4, you can play Joyra, and then you can crew the Weatherlight with Joyra immediately, because crewing does not affect, or summoning sickness does not affect crew. So you're swinging for 4, and then you get that trigger, which is pretty strong here when you have Joyra on the battlefield.
Yeah, reason being, the crew ability is on the Weatherlight, which, so the Weatherlight is the thing that's tapping Joyra, not Joyra tapping itself. Otherwise, it would be subject to summoning sickness.
Yeah.
But, the Weatherlight can't attack the first turn it's in because it's affected by summoning sickness, even though it doesn't start as a creature.
So, yeah, our land base here is pretty simple. Not too many restrictive costs in the deck because it is an artifact deck, so we're just... You know, artifacts are typically colorless, so no restrictive costs there. But we have Zolfrin Void, or Zolfirin Void, maybe?
I don't know.
So it taps for colorless, but it has, when Zolfirin Void enters the battlefield, scry 1. So this is scry 1 for free on a land, just fairly decent, and it's not too bad to run a colorless land in this deck, because it has a lot of artifacts, so...
We've got Swiftwater Cliffs, which is a land, enters tapped, gains you a life, and adds red or blue.
Yeah, so Izzet Gate and Highland Lake both do the same thing. They enter the battlefield tapped and add blue or red. So then with our basics, we have 19 islands and 12 mounds to top it off here. So that leaves us with 35 lands total. So this is a little lower than the average land base you'd see. But the deck we have here is not super high average CMC. We have an average of around 2.6. As well, we have a lot of 3 mana and 2, 3, and 4 mana artifact ramp, which means we don't need as much land support because we have the artifacts to help us out here.
Yeah, normally we'd advise putting around 37 to 40, maybe 36, 36 to 40 lands to avoid getting mana screwed. Now I'd like to talk about a little bit how the deck plays out. So... Normally, we have the biggest battlefield on the table. This is a really fun deck to play if you love putting tons of stuff onto the battlefield. We get to play tons of artifacts, draw tons of cards, so if you love drawing cards, this is the deck for you. We've got great artifact synergy. Yeah, this deck is so fun to play. This is, as I mentioned earlier, this was my first Commander deck. Really, yeah, really near and dear to my heart. That was cheesy.
No.
Well, next up we've got 5 in, 5 out, which is a segment where we find 5 cards that we think I should put in the deck. Also 5 cards out that will lower the cost, because we do have some more expensive cards that we think don't really need to be in the deck. So yeah, why don't we go with our 5 in first?
So first we have Aetherium Sculptor. Aetherium Sculptor is 1 and a blue for a... So it's a creature, and it's another cost reducer here. So it's a Vedalken Artificer. It's a 1-2. And it says, artifact spells you cast cost 1 less to play. So just another great card here that can really allow us to power out some more expensive artifact cards that we might be casting in our game, throughout the game. Secondly...
Herald of Hazalek. Which is 1 red-blue for a, it has Devoid, and it says, colorless spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. So another cost reducer, comes on a 2-4 body. It's an Eldrazi Drone. Yeah, this one's good because we get all of our colorless spells, which is similar to this, it's doing the same thing for us. We've got Rebuilt, it's an instant. It has return all artifacts to their owner's hands. It has cycling for 2, which means you can pay 2 and discard it, and then you can draw a card. This is good because we get to replay our artifacts while setting back our opponent's turns, because we actually want to replay our artifacts while our opponents don't. And we can also cycle it away if we don't need it at the time.
Then we have Riddlesmith.
Which is, it's 1 blue... 1 in a blue for a creature, human artificer. Whenever you cast an artifact spell, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. So this is what we call a redundant effect.
Yeah, so this, it's looting.
It's looting, so it's not as good as Drora, but it lets you draw a card and then you still have to discard a card, but it's similar to Drora. So if Drora gets removed too many times and we can't play it, then we have Riddlesmith would be a very good card to put in the deck.
Yeah, and for two mana, it's just a really great low CMC option there, which is good.
Yeah, and we've got a good replacement for Nettle Drone, which is one of the cards that we think we want to take out because it's kind of slow. It is a Reckless Fireweaver, one in a red, for a creature human artificer. It's a 1/3. It says, whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, Reckless Fireweaver deals 1 damage to each opponent. So this is a better form of Nettle Drone. It's cheap. It's 11 cents. I think I'll be trying to pick this one up soon.
Yeah, really. Great cards. So for some cards we're moving. First, we're taking out Nettle Drone, as we were saying, because it's kind of just a higher CMC version of Reckless Fireweaver here. So I'm just, you know, sort of strictly better here. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, technically not strictly better, but we feel it's better and the lower CMC is fairly relevant and it's just more efficient as a card.
We've got Prophetic Prism, which is 2 mana artifact. When it enters the battlefield, draw a card. And it has 1 and tap it. Add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. I've just found the filtering really is not needed. Like, the extra card is, I mean, it's pretty good. It's draw 2 cards with Jora, 2 mana divination. But the rate that it's at is not that great. I think we're going to want to replace this with a Rebuild or Riddlesmith, because those are just better versions of this card.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, so then we're going to be taking out Anticipate here. So Anticipate is just a 2 mana. You look at the top 3 cards of your library. You choose one of them. So perfectly fine card. Instant, you know, very well-known card in Magic. But we think it's, you know, there are cards that can be, that work better in the Joyra deck that are simply just more efficient and are a better fit for the deck and allow us to execute our game plan better, essentially.
Yeah, and this is a good card to replace with Riddlesmith, because we have we'll now have the extra card selection from Riddlesmith. Next up, we've got Throne of the God Pharaoh, which is a 2-mana legendary artifact. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses life equal to the number of tapped creatures you control. It's fine, but it's pricey. It's like $1.75. It's not too bad, but at the same time, even though it's a good utility artifact, we don't have that many creatures, and
yeah, as many creatures as we may be churning out.
I think this is the last one we want to remove, though, because this is okay in the deck.
Yeah, it's a decent alternate strategy, but as we continue to focus the deck, the strategy of just like churning out these tokens becomes a little less relevant in more competitive decks with more board control.
It's like two steps of removal, like two steps from our game plan, which might warrant a removal up from the deck. Last up, Hierophant's Chalice, which is one of our mana rocks.
For 3 mana.
For 3 mana, taps for colorless, or diamond mana. When it enters the battlefield, you drain one of your opponents for 1. And it's just not that great. It's not a good rate. Yeah. We can do the same thing, like, better for 2 mana times, so I think this should be removed.
Yeah, we found that, like, replacing Hierophant's Chalice with Ethereum Sculptor is just better, usually, because the 3 mana artifact ramp is kind of awkward with Joyra, because if you're playing this on turn 3, and then you have 1 extra mana for Joyra, which is kind of awkward, and just playing Ethereum Sculptor and reducing all of your artifacts just nets more value throughout the game, and is, we found it's just better.
Yeah, I'm just looking for more cheap 2-mana artifacts. Unfortunately, there's not a lot that are cheap now. Our things that we still have within budget are, we've got Guardian Idol and Star Compass, I think are 2 that we can put in the deck.
Yeah, so Signets and Talismans are just slightly expensive, so if you're looking for more...
Yeah, I think they're fine. They're like $1.
Yeah, so if you're looking for some... to upgrade the deck a little more, you might want to be looking into removing a few of the cards, such as Izzet Cluestone, that are solely for ramp, and replacing with a Signet or Talisman, which are 2 mana instead of 3 mana.
And yeah, it's called, like, Mana Lith. Like, it adds colored mana, but it's at the 3 mana slot. We really want to be adding on 2 so that we can play, deploy, general on 3. Yeah.
Yeah, so just 2 is kind of the sweet spot, and 3 is a little awkward. You know, still good after you cast Joyra, but, we really want to be hitting 2-mana artifacts here.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to our best cards. So I think we should do this at the same time. We're going to say our favorite card in the deck.
Let me think about this for a minute. All right, ready?
Okay. Three, two, one. Thraxos, Scourge of Krug. Yep, Fibblethip for the win. Okay,
I don't know why you wouldn't choose Fibblethip. Just a, you know, great card all around.
2-mana Divination with Joyra.
Yeah, I mean, just a phenomenal card in general.
We love ourselves blue elvish visionaries.
Yeah, you know, who doesn't love a good homunculus?
Okay, now think of, what do you think is the most powerful card in the deck?
Three, two, one. Joyra. No! I think Joyra is the most powerful card in the deck. Joyra really just makes the strategy powerful and allows you to really just churn through your deck and make artifacts very viable, in that this otherwise fairly casual deck allows you such a great way to draw cards that these really cheap one CMC artifacts that are useless in most decks just become a cantrip, which is just really strong and
makes Joyra such a great
commander.
Fibblethip does not like being called useless.
Fibblethip also, you know, very good with Joyra, draws us 2 cards, and, you know, a very loving creature. Who doesn't love Fibblethip?
Yeah, okay, so let's figure out what do you think this would fall on the power scale? From 1 being, I took 100 random cards out of my collection and 60 cards and 40 lands out of my collection and I tossed them in a pile, and 10 is top tier competitive EDH.
I think I'd say around a 5 or 6 where we're looking at. Yeah, but, I mean, at $40 for a price point, you know, that's fairly good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joyra as a commander is fairly strong, and I mean, there are ways to build her as not quite CEDH, because it's not Flash Hulk, but powerful decks with just many, many Cheerios, and you just look through your deck and look through your deck for your combo pieces.
Yeah, Joyra can top out at 8.5.
Yeah, so really strong commander, but building it casually, also very, very fun to play.
It's so fun to play.
And just really fun and cool all together.
Yeah, 6.5 around there. That's the way we built it, which is, I think it falls into the focused category, not quite to the optimized category. But that's a good goal to hit when you're around 4 to 7 on the power scale, but you're building it on a budget. So moving into that, let's move into the budget report, which does not include the basic lands, but it does include shipping. When we TCG player optimized it, it comes to $42.22, which, as far as commander decks, is really cheap. You can, it averages out to around, what, like 40 cents per card, 42 cents per card.
Yeah, so 42 cents per card.
Yeah, and the average deck, you're shelling out, what, $700? Like,
Joyra, expensive Joyra decks can, you know, just competitive decks can get really pricey.
Because you're playing Mox Opal and
the strong zero mana artifacts, like, the Mox can get really expensive, then, like, Mana Crypt in the fast mana. Mana Vault.
Yeah, so, we can put Sol Ring in this deck.
Yeah, Sol Ring's around $5, but Mana Crypt and Mana Vault.
Sol Ring's down to $3.50.
Both, you know, very widely known cards. Both cards are, like, 0 or 1 mana and net 2 mana, which are, you know, crazy, but they're very expensive cards. So some of the most expensive cards we're looking at here are Gilded Lotus, Sai, Spark Double, and Joyra. Joyra being the cheapest at $2.50, Spark Double at $2.72, Sai at 395, and Gilded Lotus also at 395.
Yeah, so it's cheap. Our game plan is to, as a podcast, is to come up with budget brews and other fun things.
Yeah, so our main goal is just to inform you with, you know, cool brews, budget brews, and just try and give you a fun experience as a listener.
Yeah, so, you can save money. It doesn't have to be the most expensive game in the world. You can still not have to pay a bajillion dollars for Magic.
I think EDH is supposed to be fun, and you don't have to pay a lot of money to do that. And we just hope to bring you content that you can enjoy and find decks that you might be able to have fun with, and we're hoping that we can continue to bring some content that you'll enjoy and have fun with and support. Yeah.
So, well, before we finish, I want to mention a few new cards that I've been considering putting in the deck from the latest set. Not Throne of Eldraine. Theros Beyond Death. Soul Guide Lantern, which it allows you... It's kind of like Scrabble and Claws. It's a graveyard hate. It's one mana.
Soul Guide Lantern is... It's one mana for an artifact, enters battlefield, exile target card from a graveyard. It has tap, sacrifice Soul Guide Lantern, exile each opponent's graveyard.
Oh, so you keep yours intact just in case.
Yeah, and it has one tap and sacrifice Soul Guide Lantern to draw a card. So, very versatile. It can exile graveyards, can draw you cards. Great, great one CMC card.
Also Dalakos, Crafter of Wonders, which I'm going to do this from memory, is... One blue and a red?
Yeah, one blue and red.
It's a creature. I got it. Okay. Legendary creature, Merfolk Artificer. It's a 2/4. Tap, add diamond.
Colorless, yeah.
Spend this mana only to cast artifact spells or activate abilities of artifacts. So this is good mana ramp on a creature. And also, equipped creatures you control have flying and haste. So we do have a few equipment in the deck.
Like our zero mana equipment.
Lastly, we've got... This one's less new. This is Emery, Lurker of the Lock. She is 2 and a blue for 1/2, legendary creature, Merfolk Wizard. This spell costs 1 less to cast for each artifact you control. So oftentimes, we're playing this for a blue mana. When it enters the battlefield, you mill 4 and tap it and choose target artifact in your graveyard. You may cast that card this turn. This is a great combo piece because we can... not necessarily a combo piece, but we can replay stuff out of our graveyard, get additional value out of our artifacts.
Yeah, we don't have a ton of graveyard interaction other than, like, Scrap Trawler. This is just a crazy card, especially with stuff like Trading Post. You can just keep recurring stuff and drawing cards, and just a very valuable card. And having that ability to play artifacts from graveyards is just very strong.
Yeah, things are going to get out of hand really quickly with Emery. And, so we've got a trivia questions for the listener and also Charlie. Okay, so Commander 2019 season is kind of over. They're not really in stores anymore. But after all the dust settles, your trivia question is, what was the most popular Commander, according to EDH Rec, of Commander 19?
Of just any of the cards, like even in main deck?
Oh, no, Commander.
Oh, like of the
most four? Popular Commander. No, out of any of them, including the backup commanders.
I think so. What's the Naya one that makes eggs?
Atla Polani?
I don't think it's her. I think it's either Elsha or I think it's Elsha. Is it Elsha?
Is it Elsha of the Infinite? Drumroll. No.
Oh.
Okay, here's your hint. Okay? The answer will drive you insane. Yep, he's been driven insane.
I feel like I'm missing a joke here. What is it? Let me know.
Anya Falconrath.
Oh.
So Anya Falconrath was the madness.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
The madness commander.
Yeah,
so
Anya Falconrath. Cool card. So,
thanks for tuning in
and listening.
This is a brand new for this is brand new for us, so please leave feedback. And
yeah,
we still don't know where we're posting this, but most likely YouTube, wherever you listen to your podcast. So
yeah,
we be sure to leave. Live.
Oops, sorry.
Sorry. Leave a 5-star review.
Rate
if you don't want to give us a 5-star review, don't review us at all. Yelp. Okay, but anyways, so review us if you like what we're doing.
We'd love to hear what you think. We're just trying it out and seeing how this goes. But thanks a lot for listening.
Lots of information down the description below or in your podcast app. So, yeah, thanks for tuning in. All right, signing off for now.
Yep.
Bye.